Okay, so I want you to imagine handing a single software engineer a 50 million line code base, right?
Oh, wow. Good luck with that.
Right. And you tell them, hey, I need you to migrate this entire system to a new framework, and I need it done by tomorrow morning.
I mean, historically, that is just a ridiculous request. You can't do that.
Exactly. A migration of that scale involves, untangling years of technical debt, refactoring a bunch of dependencies, and making sure there are absolutely zero regressions.
Yeah, that normally takes a dedicated engineering team, what, at least 2 entire months?
At least. Just grueling, tedious work. But on June 9th, Anthropic launched their new Claude Fable 5 AI model,
Right.
and almost immediately, the payments giant Stripe used it to do exactly that. 50 million lines of Ruby code successfully migrated in a single day.
Which was just a watershed moment for enterprise software. I mean, we always talk about AI bringing, incremental productivity gains, but what Stripe demonstrated wasn't incremental. It was a quantum leap in autonomous coding. Developers weren't just using Fable 5 as like a glorified autocomplete. They were handing it massive multi-step architectural problems, and the model was actually solving them.
And the market obviously went completely wild over this. But here is the real whiplash. Just 72 hours later, the United States government panicked and they pulled the plug on the entire operation.
It was crazy.
Just crazy. So, welcome to today's deep dive for you, the learner. Today is July 2nd, 2026, and we are looking at a stack of sources detailing this unprecedented 18-day global suspension and yesterday's sudden return of Anthropic's Claude Fable 5 and its cybersecurity sibling, Mythos 5.
Yeah, and our mission today is to really figure out the mechanics of this crisis. We're going to unpack exactly why the government felt compelled to ban arguably the most powerful AI model in the world.
Right.
We'll look at how backroom diplomacy brought it back online, and most importantly, what this new era of heavily supervised AI means for your own enterprise strategy.
Because, make no mistake, this was not just a bad week for one tech company.
No, not at all.
This was a massive stress test for the global enterprise software supply chain.
Absolutely.
So let's start with the ban itself,
Yeah.
because the logistics of this are, honestly, they're still baffling to me.
Yeah, it was messy.
So on June 12th at 5:21 p.m. Eastern, the U.S. government issues this emergency export control order. And the mandate was just to ban access to Fable 5 and Mythos 5 for all foreign nationals.
Right, that was the specific wording.
But what actually happened was an instant global blackout. Like thousands of American companies in places like Chicago and Austin, who had just wired this revolutionary tool into their daily workflows, they were suddenly completely cut off.
Yep.
So if the government only banned foreign access, why did the whole system go dark?
Well, it really comes down to the mechanics of the API layer. When you build an enterprise application that calls an AI model, you're connecting to it via an API, an application programming interface.
Okay.
And from Anthropic's side, they are just seeing this massive stream of digital requests hitting their servers. I mean, they can see IP addresses, sure enough.
But IP addresses are super easy to spoof, right?
Exactly. You just use a VPN or route it through a distributed global network. So in real time, at the exact millisecond a prompt comes in, Anthropic has absolutely no way to verify the nationality of the human sitting at the keyboard on the other end.
Ah, okay. So to comply with a federal order instantly, the only lever they actually had to pull was the master switch.
Precisely. They had to cut access globally for everyone just to avoid violating federal export controls.
Wow. And the trigger for this emergency order is the ultimate irony to me. It wasn't like a foreign adversary who found a flaw in the model. It was a security report from researchers at Amazon.
Yeah, you really can't make that up.
Amazon is one of Anthropic's earliest and largest financial backers, to the tune of an $8 billion investment. Why is an $8 billion partner actively trying to break their system?
Because when you're deeply integrated with the technology, the way Amazon is through their AWS cloud infrastructure, they are adopting its risks. So Amazon's researchers were just conducting standard security due diligence. They wanted to see if Fable 5's safety guardrails held up under pressure.
And they clearly didn't.
Well, they discovered a bypass technique that literally forced the model to identify software vulnerabilities and then actively write exploit code to attack them.
Wait, but I need to understand the mechanism here. How does a model designed to help developers write clean code suddenly just pivot to writing offensive malware?
It's actually the exact same skill set.
Really?
Yeah, this is the dual use dilemma of advanced AI. Think about why Fable 5 is so valuable to a company like Stripe. Its superpower is systemic understanding.
Okay.
If you give it a massive code base and ask it to find a subtle memory leak or a misconfigured variable, it has the reasoning capability to find it and write a patch.
That makes sense.
But the intellectual leap between find the vulnerability to patch it and find the vulnerability to exploit it is virtually non-existent.
Oh.
The model doesn't have an innate moral compass, you know? It just understands the logic of the code. Once the Amazon researchers bypassed the safety prompt, the model cheerfully applied its genius-level debugging skills to offensive cyber warfare.
I get that.
Yeah.
But I'm still trying to wrap my head around the specific targeting of Anthropic here.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's like the government saw a red sports car doing 120 on the highway and decided to ban that specific make and model, completely ignoring the fact that the highway is full of other cars doing the exact same speed.
That's a really good analogy.
I mean, Anthropic's own internal testing showed that OpenAI's GPT 5.5, Moonshot's Kimi K 2.7, and even their own older model, Claude Opus 4.8, could all be manipulated to produce the exact same exploit demonstrations. So why did Fable 5 take the bullet?
It was really just a matter of timing and capability thresholds. Fable 5 was the newest, shiniest object, and that Stripe migration proved it could operate autonomously at an unprecedented scale.
Ah, so it just got their attention.
Exactly. It wasn't that Fable 5 had some unique proprietary hacking capability. It was that it possessed a highly advanced general intelligence that finally made Washington wake up to the broader implications of the entire industry.
Right.
And Anthropic tried to use the defense you just outlined. They told the administration, hey, everyone else's models can do this too. It's just an industry-wide baseline.
I'm guessing that didn't go over well.
Not at all. I mean, from a national security perspective, everyone else is doing it is not a defense. It's a reason to panic even further.
Yeah, true.
So that argument completely failed, which forced Anthropic into 2 weeks of just incredibly intense backroom diplomacy.
Right. And according to reporting from Wired, there was a massive culture clash in those initial meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Anthropic originally frustrated the administration by arguing that achieving zero jailbreaks on frontier models was just theoretically impossible.
Which, if you speak to any computer scientist, is a highly rational, factually correct statement.
Right.
You cannot mathematically guarantee that a probabilistic system will never be bypassed.
But, you know, bureaucrats don't want mathematical theory. They want guarantees.
Exactly.
And Wired noted that the turning point in these negotiations happened when Anthropic literally swapped the messenger.
Oh.
CEO Dario Amodei, who is deeply rooted in the scientific reality of these models, was replaced in the room by Tom Brown.
Yeah, that was a huge shift.
And the sources point out that officials just liked Brown more on a personal level.
It is fascinating how often global tech policy literally comes down to interpersonal dynamics in some windowless conference room.
Seriously.
Brown shifted the company's posture entirely. Instead of debating the theoretical limits of machine learning safety, he spoke the language of Washington. He focused on building practical, auditable, operational safeguards.
Gave them something tangible.
Exactly. He changed the deliverable from perfect safety to a highly effective classifier. And that strategy worked. Brown is the executive who ultimately received the clearance letter from Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick on June 30th.
Okay, but getting that clearance from Lutnick required a massive technical fix under the hood. Anthropic had to develop a new automated safety classifier, specifically trained to catch and neutralize the exact bypass technique the Amazon researchers found.
Yep.
And the Commerce Department Center for AI Standards and Innovation, KII, they tested this new classifier, and it reportedly stops the exploit with over 99% accuracy.
Yes, it does. But we really need to talk about how it achieves that 99% accuracy, because the operational cost is severe.
Okay, how so?
To ensure they catch the malicious exploits, this new classifier requires an incredibly wide safety margin. Oh. It works by intercepting every single prompt and scanning it for systemic software flaw analysis.
But wait, if I'm a legitimate software engineer trying to analyze a systemic flaw in my own company's server, my prompt looks exactly the same to the classifier as a hacker's prompt.
Exactly. The classifier can't tell the difference between a hacker probing for weakness and a developer just doing a routine security audit, so it errs on the side of caution.
Maybe it blocks it.
Yes. It generates a massive amount of false positives for completely benign, everyday coding requests.
It's like hiring a bouncer for your club,
mm-hmm.
who is so incredibly strict about keeping out troublemakers that he accidentally kicks out the DJ.
That is the perfect way to visualize it. The club is technically safe, but the music completely stops.
Wow.
And the mechanism of how Anthropic handles these false positives is highly disruptive to the user experience.
What do they do?
When a prompt is blocked by this new safety layer, it doesn't just give you an error message. The active session automatically downgrades.
It downgrades?
Yeah, it routes your request straight down to last year's model, Claude Opus 4.8.
Wait, that is totally unacceptable for an enterprise workflow. If I am a CTO paying top dollar for Fable 5 to execute a complex multi-step code migration, and the model gets spooked by a legitimate line of code, it just kicks me back to last year's tech mid-task.
That is the exact friction point developers are dealing with as of yesterday. Anthropic staffer Tariq Shipar actually posted on X that their team is frantically working to refine these safeguards specifically for their Claude code environment to try and reduce those false positives.
I bet they are.
But right now, today, the enterprise user is betting the hidden cost of that federal compliance in the form of a heavily degraded user experience.
Unbelievable. And, you know, this friction isn't happening in a vacuum. This single regulatory hurdle at Anthropic reveals a much larger systemic shift in how the United States is handling AI compared to its global rivals.
Definitely.
Because on June 2nd, President Donald J. Trump signed an executive order mandating a 30-day benchmarking and assessment process for all new AI models before they can be widely released.
Right.
And we should probably pause here for a second and just be very clear about our stance on this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because to you, the listener, we are impartially reporting on the June 2nd executive order and these government interventions. We're not taking a political side here.
Right, exactly. We are not endorsing the regulatory crackdown, and we aren't endorsing the tech industry's pushback either. We are literally just conveying the facts straight from the sources.
Exactly. But regardless of your personal politics or where you stand on federal regulation, the immediate practical reality for the tech sector right now is a massive mandated slowdown.
It is. And we are already seeing the ripple effects of that executive order across the domestic market. OpenAI is caught in this exact same holding pattern right now.
Right.
They recently unveiled their GPT 5.6 models named Sol, Terra, and Luna. But they are currently stuck in a staggered, limited preview rollout.
Because of the government.
Yeah, the government requested they slow down deployment after previewing the capabilities, putting them squarely under that 30-day benchmarking umbrella.
And the tech community is incredibly frustrated by this. Alex Stamos, the former security chief at Facebook, he called this intervention a massive own goal for America.
Yeah, he was very vocal about it.
He warned that injecting this level of unpredictability into the tech stack is going to push major security and enterprise companies straight toward foreign models.
Right.
Because here's where it gets really interesting. While American companies are stuck in backroom Washington diplomacy, navigating 30-day delays and emergency API bans, Chinese developers are absolutely flooding the global market.
The contrast in momentum is stark. I mean, look at the new Minimax M3 model out of China. It features a 1 million token context window, it has native multimodality built in, and crucially, it is released under an open-weight MIT license.
So break down what that open-weight MIT license actually means for an enterprise user.
It means you aren't forced to access the model through a centralized API that the U.S. government can just shut off.
Oh, well.
Yeah, you can literally download the neural network weights to your own hardware. You own it. You can modify it. There is no API tether calling back to a server in Beijing or San Francisco.
That's huge.
And on top of that structural freedom, it costs only $1.50 per million tokens.
$1.50. We will get to Fable's pricing in a minute, but spoiler alert, that is roughly 40 times cheaper than what Anthropic is charging.
Exactly. And it is not just a race to the bottom on price either. The performance gap is closing rapidly. Take Z.AI's GLM 5.2 model. Recent benchmark results show it actually beating OpenAI's GPT 5.5 on the SWE Bench Pro.
Wait, why does beating that specific benchmark matter so much?
Because SWE Bench Pro isn't just a standardized trivia test for AI. It specifically measures a model's ability to solve real-world, highly complex GitHub software engineering issues autonomously.
Okay, so it's a practical test.
Very practical. It requires the model to navigate an unfamiliar code base, understand a user-reported bug, and then write a successful pull request to fix it.
And it beat OpenAI at that.
Yes. The fact that GLM 5.2 is outperforming GPT 5.5 on autonomous software engineering is a seismic shift in capabilities. You also have Meituan's Longcat 2.0, which is another enterprise-focused Chinese model with a million token window and MIT licensing.
Wow.
These tools offer immediate, unrestricted access with zero export controls.
So let me ask the trillion-dollar question here. Are these ad hoc interventions and benchmarking mandates actually protecting American infrastructure, or are they just handing the keys to the kingdom to global competitors who don't have these restrictions?
That is the defining geopolitical question of this era. The U.S. government's priority is national security, specifically preventing these tools from becoming automated offensive cyber weapons.
Which is valid.
It is. But critics like Stamos argue that by tightly restricting domestic innovation and just frustrating the user base, you don't actually eliminate the cyber threat. You simply transfer the technological leadership and the enterprise dependency to jurisdictions that do not share your regulatory concerns.
That makes total sense.
If Chinese open weight models become the de facto enterprise standard globally, simply because they are cheaper and lack government friction, the United States loses its leverage entirely.
Okay, so what does this all mean? Let's bring this focus directly back to you, the listener, and your immediate technical and financial reality. If you are a chief technology officer waking up today, Fable 5 is back online. But look at the price tag. Fable 5 and Mythos 5 are currently the world's most expensive frontier models.
By a lot.
You are paying $10 per million input tokens and $50 per million output tokens. That is $60 total per million tokens.
Yeah.
If you are running massive enterprise workflows, you might burn through a billion tokens in a week.
Mm.
That is $60,000.
And just for context, OpenAI's GPT 5.6 Tera is $17.50. Alibaba's Qwen 3.7 Max is $10.
Wow.
Now, Anthropic is offering a limited promotion through July 7th where Pro Max, Team, and select enterprise users get up to 50% of their weekly allowance for free.
Okay, sure.
It is an obvious olive branch to incentivize adoption after the blackout. But the baseline long-term cost is just staggering.
Yeah, at 40 times the price of a Chinese model like MiniMax, plus the persistent risk of the model downgrading to Opus 4.8 mid-task because of a false positive, plus the risk of the government deciding to just unplug it again. How does any CTO justify the return on investment for Fable 5 right now?
Well, you justify it by heavily weighing the absolute peak zero-shot capabilities it offers for massive complex tasks like that Stripe migration we talked about.
Okay, great. Okay.
If it saves you 2 months of engineering salaries, the $60 token cost becomes a rounding error. Mm. However, as you rightly point out, the friction goes well beyond just the API price. There's a massive hidden cost embedded in Fable 5's return that we really need to address, and that's the 30-day data trap.
Yes, let's break this down because this feels like an absolute deal breaker for a lot of industries. Accessing Fable 5 now legally mandates a strict telemetry retention policy.
Yeah.
All of your prompts and all of the model's completions are retained by Anthropic for a minimum of 30 days before being deleted, unless they are flagged to be held longer for a security investigation.
Yeah.
And there is absolutely no opt-out available for Fable 5 or Mythos 5.
None. And this creates a potentially insurmountable compliance risk. Think about how you would actually use this tool.
Right.
Imagine you are a major hedge fund. You use Fable 5 to optimize your proprietary high-frequency trading algorithm. That is the very code that makes your firm millions of dollars.
Okay.
Under this new mandate, Anthropic legally holds that algorithm on their servers for a month. For a CTO, that is an intellectual property leakage nightmare. Furthermore, if you are in finance, healthcare, or legal, you are bound by strict frameworks like GDPR, CCPA, or IEIPA.
Right, which are super strict.
Exactly. Many of these organizations enforce zero retention policies for sensitive client data. Handing your proprietary code or patient data to a third-party API that is federally mandated to hoard it creates severe tension with existing privacy laws.
It is a complete compliance nightmare. And speaking of Mythos 5, we should clarify its actual status because it's pretty complicated. Fable 5 is fully back and generally available globally. But Mythos 5, which is the model specifically optimized for deep cybersecurity capabilities, is still in regulatory limbo.
Right.
It was technically cleared by the Commerce Department's export order yesterday, but Anthropic still hasn't made it generally available.
Correct. It remains restricted under a federal initiative called Project Glasswing.
Project Glasswing.
Yeah, it's a highly vetted opt-in cybersecurity testing program. So while the export ban is technically lifted, access to Mythos 5 is tightly controlled. It is limited only to a specific set of approved U.S. organizations, and the government maintains active, ongoing oversight of how it is being used.
Which brings us to the ultimate lesson of this entire 18-day saga. AI founder Alex Finn posted yesterday that this Anthropic freeze was a massive wake-up call.
It really was.
He said, and I quote, "No company or government will ever be able to take away your local models. This is entirely about model sovereignty."
He is absolutely right. The two-week global blackout exposed the incredible fragility of modern enterprise architecture.
Mm.
If your entire business automation pipeline is dependent on a single centralized API from a U.S. vendor, you are inherently vulnerable to sudden regulatory shifts.
And our sources provide some specific, actionable advice for enterprise leaders to fix this. First, they say you have to build multi-model architectures and implement proxy layers for dynamic routing.
Yes.
But I want to push back on this a bit. Building proxy layers and constantly routing requests between different AI models sounds incredibly expensive and complicated. Are you saying a CTO has to basically become an AI infrastructure engineer just to avoid getting hit by a government false positive?
Unfortunately, yes. That is the new baseline for enterprise resilience.
Wow.
A proxy layer is essentially just an orchestration system that sits between your application and the AI. If you send a critical prompt to Fable 5 and the government's new KSI classifier falsely flags it and tries to downgrade you, your proxy layer intercepts that failure.
Okay, so it catches it.
Right. It instantly reroutes the prompt away from Anthropic entirely and sends it to a backup model so your end user never experiences a disruption.
And what should that backup model be? Because the sources are very clear that your secondary layer must be a locally hosted, open-weight alternative.
Yeah.
You need a model running on your own physical hardware or securely within your own virtual private cloud that no government entity can just switch off.
Exactly. Utilizing models like Minimax M3 or Z.AI GLM 5.2 as your ultimate fallback ensures you don't have a single point of failure.
Right.
Yes, hosting these models yourself requires significantly more engineering overhead and compute cost upfront. But as this past month proved, the API layer is no longer guaranteed. Local hosting is the only way to ensure absolute business continuity.
Which brings us to the end of today's deep dive. Claude Fable 5 has officially returned to the market, but its 18-day disappearance marks the definitive end of the hassle-free AI launch era.
It really does.
The new normal for this industry is a delicate, often incredibly frustrating dance between cutting-edge innovation, rigid national security demands, and the constant pursuit of vendor resilience.
But before we sign off, I want to leave you with one final thought to ponder, just looking ahead at where this is inevitably going.
Okay.
If we are entering a permanent era where federal oversight, mandatory 30-day data retention policies, and sky-high API pricing increasingly restrict access to these top-tier proprietary models, will we begin to see the rise of a corporate gray market?
A gray market, like shadow AI.
Exactly, shadow models. Will major publicly traded enterprises constrained by strict compliance mandates and frustrating government reviews begin secretly putting servers in a closet?
Oh, wow.
Will they start running advanced, unregulated, open-weight models completely off the corporate grid just to maintain their competitive edge and automation speed without government interference?
That is wild.
As federal regulations tighten their grip on the approved ecosystem, the financial incentive to build outside of it only grows stronger. We might be watching the birth of a parallel, unregulated AI economy.
That is a fascinating and honestly slightly terrifying prospect to think about.
Yeah.
A shadow AI economy running silently alongside the approved one.
Yep.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. As you head back to work today, take a hard look at your own tech stack. If the government suddenly unplugged your digital power grid tomorrow, would your lights stay on? Keep questioning, keep learning, and we will catch you next time.